All right, today we're going to look at the end of the fourth reading as that flows into the fifth reading. In yesterday's class, we talked about the notion of sorrow being remembered. And if you remember, I shared with you that the Kli Yoker says that along with sorrow being remembered, many others were remembered too. Well, today we'll get to the end of that story. So the last thing we learned about was Sarah's pregnancy and Sarah's birth. Sarah's pregnancy and, well, Sarah gave birth. Yitzchak is born.
Yeah.
A Jewish star is born. Chapter 21, verse 3. Vayikra Avraham Eshem Benoi. The end of the fourth reading is, Avraham calls the name of his son, Asher Neledlei, who was born to him, Asher Yoldoloi, who had given birth to him, Sarah Yitzchak. So the child who was born, but born to him, who Sarah had born to him, there's a double emphasis there, he's called Yitzchak. Rashi doesn't say anything, because really and truly, there isn't anything to say about it. That's on a pshat level, that's pretty straightforward. Although, the question might well be asked, when exactly was Yitzchak given his name? Because the Torah says that he was born and Avram called him his name. And then afterwards in verse 4, it says, Vayomal Avram is Yitzchak benoi. Avram circumcised Yitzchak, his son. Sounds like he has a name already. Ben Shmeinas Yomim, when he's 8 days old, Ka'asher Tziva Yisoy Elohim, as God has commanded him. So he gives him a bris milah 8 days after he's born. But when it says, when he gives him a bris milah, it says, Vayomal Avram es Yitzchak b'nai. When do we give a name? We give a name at the bris milah. So, this is the question. This is the question. So, Rabbi Lazar Akeach says that because the verse follows immediately afterwards, because it says, Vayikra Avram es Shem b'nai hanuludlai, that Avram called the child who was born to him Yitzchak. And because the very next verse says, Vayomal Avram is Yitzchak, that Avram give Yitzchak a bris milah, from this we can understand that the naming took place at the bris milah, because there's a conjunction. And as such, we would say there's actually a biblical origin. The very first Jew born was named at the bris milah. The Malbim suggests that from the fact that it says first, Vayikra Avram Hashem B'nai, and only that's in verse 3. And only afterwards in verse 4 does it say Vayomal. So the Malbim suggests that he called him Yitzchak from the day he was born. But the question is, if he didn't give him a bris milah, why would he call him his Hebrew name? And this is especially because the notion of calling a child a Hebrew name, according to our tradition, is not simply because, well, you know what, ceremony, everybody's getting together, that's when you should announce his name. But that's Tchilas Knisas Nefesh HaKdesha. That's when the neshama begins to fully take root in the body. And the name, the Hebrew name, is the ID of the neshama. So the Malbim says that this would have been different. And the reason is because Hashem had commanded him that they should call him a name. So if you have a mitzvah, you have a commandment from God, call your child this name. Then you cannot delay it. So we don't have a commandment to name our child. So we name our child whenever we're ready at the bris milah. However, when you have a commandment, that would be a different thing. And this comes into a very interesting situation. If a child cannot have a bris milah in the beginning of his life, what should you do? Should you call him baby for the first 3 months of his life? He's in the neonatal unit. And he has an issue. He has an issue, for whatever it is. Can't have a bris milah right away. So many years ago, I had this shaila, and I asked Rabbi Shachar what to do. And the reason was that people wanted to be able to pray for their son, and they didn't want to pray for baby, the son of Sarah. They wanted to give a Hebrew name. So Rabbi Shachar told me that it doesn't, you could see from Avram, it doesn't have to be at the bris milah. There could be exceptions. And he suggested to me, we should make a mishaberach, like you name a girl, and start off giving him a name, and he'll be given a name again at the bris milah. And this is what happened. So the child already, we davened for him, because the notion of giving the name is also announcing it in a public way. So at a Torah reading, an aliyah. Anyway, that was the story that happened.
A temporary name until he had the bris?
We didn't give him he didn't get a separate name. He didn't get called Moshe and then at the bris get called Aaron. Mm-hmm. It was the same name. I don't remember.
Same name.
I know the boy. He's in our shul today. Soon will be bar mitzvah. But I don't even remember what the name was right now. It doesn't come to memory, but I remember the story that happened. So this is an interesting precedent for that.
Certainly better than giving him just a number.
Right? A number? Yeah, no, certainly better. Right. So when you don't have a reason, if 8 days, you can wait, everybody waits 8 days. You call them baby for the first couple of days. But after that, there is this notion that sometimes, if there's no choice, so then you give him a name. All right, so that's how the fourth reading ends, with the birth of a Jewish star and his naming, which seems took place either at the bris or maybe even before the bris. And now the fifth reading opens with the Torah's commentary on this birth and baby naming. Avram was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. 100 years old. So Rashi says, what is the meaning of Avram Avinu, that Avram is 100 years old, v'hivolad lei is b'nei Yitzchok? Why are we repeating the years of Avram? Actually, Rashi doesn't answer, which is surprising. But what is it? What is the reason? Why do we have to say this? So Radak suggests, because the question would be asked, was Avram in his 100th year, or was Avram already 100 years old? And because it says Avram ben me'as shana behivolad lei, we can understand that he was not in his 100th year, but he was already 100 years old. Now, when was Avram Avinu born? According to most opinions, Avram Avinu was born in Tishrei. And that's why it's called Yerech Ha'etanim, the month of the mighty, because the mighty were born in the month of Tishrei, which includes the birth of Avram Avinu, who is also known as Eitan, the mighty one, one person standing up against the whole world. So that would mean Avram was not in his 100th year, turning 106 months after Yitzchak was born, but he already had passed his 100th year. He was already in his 101st year. The Sepharno says that the point that's going to be made here is this. We all love our children. That's normal. That's innate. That's natural. But when you wait a long, long time for a child, and then the child is finally born, there's a different kind of relationship, a different kind of connection. This is called in Hebrew, or in Yiddish, called it a ben zekunim, a child that's born to old age. It's a different kind of relationship. It's a different kind of love, a different kind of concern. It's on a whole different level. Now, it's hard enough to take your child and bring him to a bris milah. You look at the mother or the father when the child is getting a bris milah, they usually look stricken. They don't look happy. I was once at a bris milah, and the rabbi announced, the baby is fine, the father will be fine. Now, that's when you're just standing by. You don't actually have to do it. You don't have to do it. So I had the privilege of being sandik many times. And one of the times I did it to my own child, one of my own children, but I didn't look nothing. What am I going to look for? Right? It's like it's a nerve-wracking thing. And the Sepharno says, now imagine this, Avraham Avinu waits 100 years for a child, 100 years old, and the child is born. He's 8 days old. Avraham doesn't bat an eyelash. He did the bris milah by himself, 100 years old. So in other words, this emphasizes the virtue of the bris milah, according to the Sepharno. And finally, the Minchas Yitzchak suggests that even though Yitzchak, who was born from such an old father, that you would have thought that he was weak, a weakened child. He wasn't born in the best of circumstances, a sickly child. And sometimes when you have a sickly child, so you wait. You don't do bris milah right away. A sickly child, you wait for a month, you wait till the child gets koyach, gets strength. And here we see that Avraham Avinu made the child a bris, even though he was 100 years old, and he was conceived, the child was conceived from a very, very old father. Nonetheless, at 8 days old, he got a bris, and this tells you Yitzchak was born robust and healthy, despite the advanced age of his parents. At any rate, this is some of the reasons why the Torah broadcasts, once again, the age of Avraham Avinu.
How old was Sarah?
How old was Sarah? Sarah was 90 years old. Vatoimer Sarah. Sarah said, Tzchoik asol li elikim. God has brought me laughter or happiness. Kol hashemeya yitzachak li. Whoever will hear will be happy, happy with me and happy for me, as we're going to see now in the commentary of Rashi. So Rashi says, kol hashemeya, whoever is going to hear yitzchak li. What does the yitzchak li mean? So Rashi says yitzchak li does not mean Sarah is a comedian. It means it's the language of simcha. Like it says, oz yimolei schoik pina. And that means the world will be filled with joy. Schoik pina means that the world is not filled with laughter per se, but the emphasis is joy. Sure, we'll be laughing because we'll be happy, but the point is happiness. As Rashi says, Yitzchak Li should not be understood as laughing at me or even laughing with me, but rather Yismach Olai, they will rejoice over me. Medrash Agada, there's a beautiful medrash that tells us that this business is not only be happy for me, but they were happy with Sarah, because Harbe Akorois Nifkedu Ima. There were many barren women who had been opened, if you will, or and remembered on that day, and Harbe Cholim Nisrapu Bebeyim. There were many, many sick people who found miraculous healing on this day. Harbe Tfilois Nenu Ima. Many prayers were answered on that day. Verav Schoik Hoyaba Ilam. There was a very happy time. Everybody was in a good mood. Everybody was happy. The Rebbe once said that here we see the prototype for the Jewish people. When Sarah is happy, it's not only her happiness, but rather it's infectious. There's a happiness that goes around us. And he said, this is because we, the Jewish people, have a global responsibility. We're supposed to live with particularism, only thinking of ourselves. We're supposed to live with a sense of universalism, being concerned with the needs of others. And Yitzchak, just by being born, brought happiness into the world. That's the prototype of a Yid. That a Yid makes a global impact, a difference in the world. Kalashmeya Yitzchak Li, Sarah was happy, but everybody else was happy too. And people rejoiced in her happiness, which is unusual. Usually people can't stand somebody else being happy. And there's an expression in Yiddish, mefagint nisht, kenish faginin. In modern Hebrew, the Yiddishism became a Hebrewism, mefager, lo mefager, which is actually a permutation or a twisting of fagint. People can't stand that somebody else should be happy, God forbid. God forbid they should be happy with somebody else's joy. But with Sarah, it was not like that. She was so selfless and so beloved. She was happy, everybody was happy with her. And that's the prototype of the first Jewish birth. That's the prototype of the first Jewish star. And so now Sarah expresses herself. And Sarah says, and the Torah records this for posterity, Mi milel Avraham. Who is the one who said this to Avraham? Who said this? Hey, Nika Banim Sarah. Sarah now had nursed many children. Ki oladati bein lezekunav, for I have borne him a child at his older or advanced age. So Rashi says, what exactly is the question? Mi milel Avram. Who said this to Avram? Who said what? Who is she alluding to? What is the point of this question? And the answer, Rashi says, is that this question, if you will, is really, it's an expression. It's not a question. It comes in a question. The expression is l'shoyin shevach v'chashivos. What Sarah Imenu is really doing here is praising Hashem. This is, if you will, what you would call the concept of acknowledging the kindness of God. She's like, who said this? Who is she making everything? What does she mean when she said, who said this? God said this. This is an act of God. God said it was going to be, and it happened. We find this similarly in the scripture where people will ask a question, a prophet will ask a question, but it's a proverbial question. It's not an actual question that you want an answer to. Like, for example, in the 41st chapter of his prophecies, Isaiah says, Mi pa'ava asa? Who did and made all this? Who is Isaiah asking, and what answer does he expect? The answer is none of the above. He's not asking a question because he wants an answer. It's euphemistic. He's expressing himself. He said, me, Paul, who did this? Who made all this? It's like when you want to make somebody aware of it. You did somebody a favor. You say, who did that for you? How did this happen? So here, it's not self-congratulatory, but Sarah speaks about God. Or for example, as Yeshayahu Navi says, mi bara ela, who created all these? As if to say, ru'u mihu, see who God is. Kama hu shemer avtachosei, you see how Hashem promises? He said and it will be.
Is there a reason why she would say it like that rather than just be straight forward with it?
Why was Sarah saying this? Think about it. What does Sarah want to accomplish by this? She's trying to influence others. She's publicly thanking Hashem. She wants this to become an opportunity. It's a teaching moment. She says, look who said this. Peoples, do you see what happened here? The Rebbeinu Shlilim promises, and it is. If God says it is, that's what she's saying. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mavtiach Va'isa, Almighty God promises, guarantees, and he does. That was the point of this. Why did she use the expression Milel? That's an unusual expression. Why didn't she say Omar? Why didn't she say Diber? Especially because in yesterday's class we learned Vashem Pokad the Sarah Kasher Omar. God remembered Sarah as he said. Vayas Hashem did the Sarah Kasher Diber, as he had talked. So before we used the words saying and talking, and now we use Milel, which Milel is it's a different kind of word. So Rashi says, Shina HaKosov. Indeed, the scripture here switches from the typical syntax and employs unusual verbiage. V'lay Omar Diber. He didn't say Hashem had talked. Why? Because Sarah was also speaking in code. Gematria Shaloi. The gematria of the word Milel is Kuf, is 100. Why? You have a mem is 40, lamed is 30, and lamed is 30. 40, 30, and 30. You don't have to be an accountant to know that. It adds up to be 100. Kiloimar, in other words, l'soif mea l'avram. At the end of Avram's 100 years. He's already 100. He's past 100. At the age of 100, Avram Avinu fathered Yitzchak. And he's well into his 101st year. He's already, so to speak, an older man. And as we mentioned earlier, the notion of the Torah emphasizing the age of Avram is part of the message. So Sarah emphasized this, but she didn't want to openly say, look, my AK husband. Look, he's an Alta Pfeiffer. He's 100 years old. She didn't want to say that. But she wanted to make the point. So how did she make the point? Very, very cleverly, very discreetly, by using a funny word. And the word has a gematria. And people would say, Milel, not Diber, not Omar. That's the message that she's trying to broadcast.
Does it have anything to do with
Milel? Nope, no. Not to the best of my knowledge. Hinika, at least not according to Rashi. Hinika banim Sara. Let's see if anybody says them like that. No. Hinika banim Sara. Sara nursed many children. What do you mean she nursed many children? She had one child. Sarah has one child. His name is Yitzchak. What's Hinika Banim? So Rashi says, Lashon Rabim. Mahu Banim Lashon Rabim. What is many children? This is because something happened B'yem HaMishta, on the great big feast of Thanksgiving that Avram and Sarah made to acknowledge God's kindness and pay homage to him. Heviyu HaSarah says B'nei Mimoyim. Many of the other princesses said, oh yeah, they're making a party, they had a baby. Very interesting. Let's bring our babies along. And then what happened? And she said to Sarah, Sarah, you had a baby. Could you please nurse my baby? And they thought that Sarah, as we mentioned yesterday, had found some kid in the street. The stork dropped it off on the front door. So she feigned the pregnancy, made believe, and she had a fake, but it's not really a baby. And Sarah took the children and nursed them. And when that happened, then everybody realized this is the real deal. Shahayu, these women were murmuring amongst themselves, and whispering and gossiping, and they were Imre slay all the Sarah, so I didn't have a baby. A Sufi, if you mean a shock, was a kid. Some guy abandoned a kid, and she took the kid and she said she had a baby. So therefore, Hinika Badam Sara was that everybody saw that Sara actually was the mother, that she actually had just given birth. So this is how the Jewish star is born and how the Brit Milah, the covenant, was cut. And speaking of the covenant being cut, we are now going to take a look at the Bris of Yitzchak, which was, of course, the first time a person got a Bris at 8 days old. Page Reish Chav Gimel in the Biurim book. Here we have a record of an old sibling rivalry, an old argument. Page Reish Chav Gimel, this is found in the Bereishis Rabbah, in chapter 58, entry 4. It says, Yitzchak v'Yishmael hayu medainim ze im ze. Yitzchak and Yishmael had rivalry, and they were competing. Each one, this obviously happened at some later point when Yitzchak's a little bit older. Ze imer, Yishmael says, Ani choviv mucha. I am far more cherished than you. I'm the real Jew. Nimalti li gimel shana. I had a bris milah at my bar mitzvah at age 13. That's an accomplishment. And Yitzchak says, oh, no, no. Chovev ani mimcha. I am much more cherished and special. I'm the real Jew. Shenimalti l'ches yomim. I was circumcised. I got the brit milah when I was 8 days old. That's what the Medrash says. That's the record of this very early sibling rivalry. It's not the first record of sibling rivalry. The first record ended in murder. Maybe this would have gone the same way if Sarah hadn't intervened. But there was a rivalry. And Yishmael had issues. He was competing. He didn't like it. A lot of kids don't like it when the next kid is born. They get nervous. Here they were the center of attention. They were the be-all and end-all. And now he got competition. Another kid. So they had this rivalry. The Rebbe says, I understand Yishmael's point. But what is Yitzchak saying? It's not understood. What's the virtue in Yitzchak's eye? I'm more cherished. Because I got a bris milah when I was 8 years old. Logic says Yishmael's right. When the bris was done to a person who knew what he was doing, who said, yes, I will. So that's an achievement. That's the real deal. When you give him at 8 days old, you can't get the child's consent. He's a child, a baby. He doesn't know what hit him. He's not really a partner in the mitzvah at all. Yishmael was a partner. He said, I'll do this. He agreed to do it. Yitzchak was a baby. So what's Yitzchak saying? Yishmael has a point. Ani chav mimcha. Yitzchak could maybe make arguments why he's better in some other arena. But as far as bris is concerned, Yishmael seems to be in the right. So the Rebbe says something absolutely astounding. Let's talk about a covenant. Let's not just talk about a circumcision. As I once said on the radio, we were arguing about bris. I had this Jewish guy, he's atheist, arguing with me that we should stop the bris until consent. It's child abuse to wait for consent. He's against the circumcision. I said, I'm also against the circumcision. He says, you are? I said, yeah, circumcision is a medical procedure. Don't circumcise. I'm not telling you to circumcise babies. But the bris milah, don't get between us and our God. Don't get between us. Bris milah is not a medical procedure. Bris milah is a covenant with Hashem. And I said, if you care about my children, you will not talk about outlawing such a thing, because we will still continue to give a bris milah to our children. In fact, if you make it illegal, you will endanger our children. But nothing will ever get between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I said, that's historic. And he said, well, you know, we need to see the evidence. If it's a good thing, we need to see the evidence. I said, 3,700 years of Jewish excellence. Isn't that good enough evidence? And I knew that he was Jewish. The radio host didn't know. I said, I have a sneaking suspicion you had a bris milah. Did you not at 8 days old? The guy turned red like a beet. I said, you don't think you did too bad, did you? You seem to be well adjusted. Well, I have issues. I said, oh, I know you have issues, but... anyway, teichen a bris milah. The content, the meaning of a bris milah is krisas brits nitzchis HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is the cutting, the setting up of an eternal covenant with God. U'b'lashon HaKosov, in the language of the scripture, in the previous parsha. V'hoyisa brisi b'visarchem, my covenant will be on your flesh, libris oilom, for an eternal covenant. U'mekivon shemedubar b'inyan nitzchi, because we talk about eternity. Ein b'yichayla sa'adam mugba lifal zeis b'kechaysev shalei. We can't accomplish anything eternal because we are ephemeral. Ephemeral people can't make eternal covenants. No, I'm not saying the word right?
Ephemeral.
Ephemeral. Slicha, mechila, kapara. Ephemeral people cannot make eternal covenants. We are evanescent and passing. We fade like a cloud and like the wind. Rak bekoyach aboyre, who can create eternity? The eternal one. Who is the eternal one? Almighty God is the eternal one. Rak bekoyach aboyre habilti mugbal, it is only God in his omnipotence. Niten litzer bris nitzchis, can make an eternal covenant. She'eni mishtanit, which will never change le'olam forever. V'lochein ein tzorech shanim al yilbadas. Who needs consent? Consent is needed when you're making something which is within the framework of your persona. It's according to who you are. And then you can be mekayim, you can fulfill the bris milah mitzvah. We don't do that. At the first possible moment, we give the child a bris milah once he's gone through a Shabbos. Once he's 8 days old, who makes the cut? The physical cut is made by humanity, but who makes the covenant? Who makes the cut meaningful? Why is it a cut above? Because it comes from the Eibishter, it comes from Almighty God. God makes the covenant. And because God makes the covenant, it's a godly covenant. Ein mashma'ut lahagashoso lahavanasa shel adam. One's feelings, one's awareness, one's consciousness, one's commitment are actually irrelevant here because it's not you who makes the covenant, it's God who makes the covenant. And this is the maila, this is the virtue of Yitzchak. And Yitzchak, even as a child, understood this. He said, I had a bris milah at 8 days old. I tower over you, Yishmael. You had a bris milah when you were aware. You made a decision. You said, I'll sign up for this. The milah of Yishmael was indeed metech havana v'askama. Yishmael agreed at age 13. I bet you Avraham said, you want to have a bar mitzvah? You can get a fountain pen and a new watch, but you have to have a bris milah first. So he agreed to have a bris milah. You couldn't see that the bris was God's bris. Yishmael said, it's my bris. This is my bond with God. I decided to have a bond with God. Yitzchak said, that's nice. You made a bond with God. God made a bond with me. Yitzchak said, because I got the bris milah at 8 days old, I was not involved. I was not a partner. I was being acted on rather than actively engaged. And therefore it's nikkar, it's open and obvious that it's not my bris, it's not my covenant, but rather it is God's covenant. And that's b'koyach haberdei levadai. And as God is eternal, the covenant is eternal. And that is how a Jewish star was born, and that is how the first and eternal covenant was cut.